For a scientist, numbers are a way to describe the world. But it's hard to make sense of that data if you don't have a technical background, even with the help of graphs and spreadsheets and experts. But what if you could present those numbers in a way that people could not just understand intellectually, but actually get, you know, like on a gut level? Well, that's Judy Tweet's mission, starting with her dress.
I am wearing climate data.
Judy's a climate researcher and a doctoral student at the University of Washington. And on the day we meet, she's wearing a dress patterned with little red and blue blocks. Each one represents a month, displaying the history of our warming planet from the 1800s till today. Judy grew up in Tacoma. Her love for this part of the world and how it's being affected by climate change are big reasons that she wanted to study climate science. At UW, Judy started teaching a class about climate change for undergrads, and she had to get the data across to people without a scientific background.
You know, we'd show the NASA record of global surface temperature, and I'd want to say, hey, this graph is really important, right? If you remember anything, like, here's the data that you can talk about if you're having this conversation with your friends or family. And yet, it all got lost. It just got muddied because there's so much visual information.
When we sat down in our Seattle studios, Judy explained how she's set about helping people connect with data by tapping a skill from her childhood. It involves music. Judy comes from a family of music teachers, and music colored her whole upbringing. Even something as mundane as the family's outgoing message on the answering machine involved playing around with sound and numbers and music.
When I was in grade school, we had those old-fashioned voice recorders for answering machines for the phone. And my dad usually sang the voice recording. And one of those was a sonification of our phone number. He just mapped it to the tones of a scale.
Are you able to recreate this?
He just sang it as like 7521333. So I guess, who knows, you know, creative work, you never know exactly how the idea comes to your mind, but all of these influences, I'm sure, were part of it. And knowing from an early age that, and having that experience of mapping numbers to sounds, probably planted the idea for me 20 years later. Climate change is this phenomenon of slowly evolving change. And it's, you know, to really understand it, you have to think on timescales of decades, which is really not normal for us, right? So I wanted a way to sort of be able to experience that change. I thought, well, if it's mapped to sound and you listen to it, then there is this sense that it's evolving over time.
And when you say mapped to sound, can you describe exactly what you mean by that?
Yeah, sure. So the satellite record of Arctic sea ice is a set of numbers that, you know, you have a value for each month of the year for 36 years. And
this is area of the Arctic that is covered in sea ice.
Yes. Yep. When we want to display that, we don't just usually show a list of numbers. We map it either to a graph or we can map it to music, to sound. And there's lots of ways to do that when you're using sound. But one of the most intuitive ones for people is to map the numbers to pitch. So a higher number means higher pitch, and a lower number means lower pitch. Satellite record showing the area of ice over the Arctic Ocean is one of these canonical climate data sets. So to understand even why I wanted to turn it into a piece of music, I think it's important to say, like, Arctic sea ice is like sunblock for the planet. It's very bright and reflective, so it sends a lot of sunlight, incoming sunlight, back out to space, and it helps to keep the temperature balance of the planet. It also has a lot of local impacts for the communities that live in the Arctic and depend on the ice to get access to food sources. A lot of climate data has natural rhythms in it from the seasons. So I have the left hand playing just this repetitive sequence of four chords, one for each season. And then I have the right hand playing one note for each month of data. So then that means there's three notes that the right hand plays for every seasonal chord of the left hand. So that creates some kind of rhythmic musical structure.
And then the right hand, it's not, that's not abstract. Like, you're not saying, oh, the line goes up a little, so I'm going to go up a little. You say the line goes up three, and so I'm going to go up three notes.
That's right. I've gone through all sorts of phases of emotion working with this data, and I usually sort of have those privately when I'm reading the papers or doing the analysis, but I think that's just a normal reaction for people. And I don't, you know, tears can mean lots of different things to people. It can be grief or just connection or processing loss.
You talk about this sense of grief that you feel when you really think through, you know, what is happening to the earth and to the landscapes that you love. And I wonder, does that ever get specific? I mean, is there ever a particular touchstone that really kind of gets you?
I think in my own experience of growing up, you know, in the Northwest and my childhood being in the 80s and 90s, I'm concerned about the diversity of life in the coastal, this coastal region and the seashore in particular. That's because it was a very formative part of my childhood, that was this place where I found wonder and a lot of enjoyment and connection. But also on a larger scale, one of the things I'm very concerned about is, how are we as people going to respond? Is this going to bring out the worst in us? Or is it going to bring out the best in us, or a combination? We know that people are more likely to be violent on hot days. That's what the studies show us, right? So I'm very concerned, I mean, both about the changes in the environment, in particular, what it means for us. We are already feeling quite divided over the science of this and the way that it's gotten politicized. And so I see this as an opportunity to really try and rise up and be our best selves under a very difficult situation.
Different ways of reaching people work for different people, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for some people it's a story. For some people it's numbers. For some people it's a film. Yeah. So I wonder what it looks like when it seems like you're reaching somebody through music.
Sometimes you can see a person's sort of physical reaction in the audience. In particular, sometimes that's people welling up with tears in their eyes.
Has that happened?
Mm-hmm.
What's that like for you?
The first time I noticed that, it was really scary for me. I didn't want to make people that uncomfortable. So that's one sign of people connecting to the music. And to my surprise, some people have told me, one woman in particular, just a couple months ago, came up and said, you know, I almost didn't come to this presentation because I tend to feel too overwhelmed by science presentations about climate change. But this level of kind of bringing art into it made it a little bit less overwhelming for me. And then also, I think as a scientist talking about the science in a way that's clearly kind of from a personal position, it doesn't feel to the audience like, you know, you have a strong agenda, right? You're just speaking about the science from a place of care and concern. And so I've also had people tell me this was helpful. It didn't feel as sort of politicized or divisive.
Well, Judy Tweet is a doctoral student at the University of Washington studying data sonification, and particularly in regards to climate change. Thank you so much for coming in, Judy.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
To see what climate change data looks like on a dress, and to hear more of Judy's data-driven compositions, you can head to knkxsoundeffect.org.
1977. Hear the temperature rise into the 21st century.